Good to see each of you here. We have those who have been sick that are back with us, and some that are visiting with us today, and we're grateful for your being here. It is a beautiful day outside. The singing was beautiful. I think when the sun comes out, the sunshine comes out, and the sun of Jesus Christ comes into our heart and stays in our heart, then it is definitely a beautiful day. I'm glad that we're here and that you're here to worship our God, to learn more about His Word, to sing praises to His name, and to encourage and strengthen one another as we live for Christ each day. And seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain. And then when He was set, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, these are the first words of the longest recorded sermon of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We recall the Sermon on the Mount. A number of Sundays ago, we studied the first 10, 12 verses or so, the Beatitudes. But there are a great number of lessons, great number of teachings of Jesus that appear and are recorded for us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is an early sermon of Jesus, and many think likely a sermon that He preached again and again. And although a multitude was hearing Him, I'm sure it's just like in any situation where groups gather, there's hardly ever the same group. Exactly. And so he went to various places, and it is thought, based upon the way the first few verses are worded, that he spoke this particular sermon and its lessons and teachings again and again. This morning I would like for us to look at a series of twos in the Sermon on the Mount. Some twos of the Sermon on the Mount. As we look at Matthew 6 and 7, Jesus sometimes used contrasting words, contrasting thoughts to teach a lesson. And I want to look at three of those. Number one, the two masters that Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, 24. The two kinds of hearers in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21, and the two gates, or two ways, that are mentioned in Matthew 7, again, but earlier in that chapter, verses 13 and 14. Let's look first of all at Matthew 6, 24. We've heard lessons on it, and we've read these words. But we need to be reminded from time to time, especially of the teachings of Jesus, on how we can be more like Christ. Things are changing rapidly these days. Those of us who are older sometimes don't like how rapidly they are changing, but nevertheless, they change. The younger people a lot of times look forward to these changes. I know I was listening to somebody talk on TV about the number of changes that have taken place in the last 50, 60, 75 years. And there's a great number. If you think back about 1930s, 1940s, of course some of us are younger and can't think back that far, but some of you are younger. But a great number of things have happened. And as we look to the future, these things are going to happen more rapidly. The way we're looking at it, seeing the things we're seeing today, our kids, our grandkids are going to see greater things happening. And hopefully, they'll be for the better. Of course, some of the things that are happening are not for the better. But in this verse, Jesus taught a lesson for all generations. In this verse, he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. The word mammon meaning riches or treasures. And one writer said it's anything that takes the place of our trust in God. That becomes mammon. That becomes our, quote, substitute God. That draws us away from God. And I think with the changing times, there are more of those things that draw us away. Our time is filled with many more things. I grew up on a farm. We didn't have many things. We were talking about it in our Bible class in the auditorium. I never heard of Bell Mead. Never heard of Brentwood. It didn't stunt my growth at all. We didn't know that there was such thing as poor people. Didn't know anything about it. I think because we were one of them. So, and if anybody told us we were poor, we'd have got mad at them. Because we were provided with everything that, you know, that we needed. But note here in this verse that Jesus doesn't say that you shall not serve God and mammon. He says you cannot. You cannot. Because many people have a divided allegiance. Many would think, okay, I don't spend but just a small portion of my time worshiping God and studying God's Word. And I've got more time than I spend out in the world, so I have to doubt myself. I have to spread myself in two different directions. Actually, we sometimes many different directions till we've come to the word multitask. I don't like that word. Most of us. Paul said, this one thing I do. A lot of times if we get one thing done right, we've offset all that multitask stuff. But whether or not that we be a reason or willing rather to admit it, we are serving one master or the other. A lot of times, I know in this country, we like to think we're independent. We like to think that we bring ourselves up by our own shoestrings, as some folks say. We like to think that we are self-made men and women. And many are as far as their business are concerned, but God created everything. He created us. He created everything that we see. Man has kind of moved it around and manipulated it and merged it together. And maybe things look different, but God created it all. Paul said in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Why do people do mean things? We've seen a number of mean things done this last week. I like to blame it on everybody else. We don't like individual responsibility. Because if we talk about individual responsibility, that may mean that I'm responsible for something. That I have responsibility myself. But we are individually responsible for our actions. We have the power of choice. God created us differently from what they call our brothers, our brother monkeys over there. They were created in many times. They don't have a choice. Put in cages. Take away their habitat or whatever. They have to deal with those of us who have choice, even though our choices may not be wise at times. But there's a choice that needs to be made, and we need a positive move to make it many times as to who we are serving. One fellow said, said, if I was on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? I was on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? That's something to think about, isn't it? Something for all of us to think about. Joshua chapter 24. The people of God's day needed a challenge. God had been with them. Oh, but they started griping and complaining, and they were still almost within eyesight and earsight of the promise of Egypt, rather, and headed toward the promised land. But Joshua reminded them. Joshua 24 said, "You have land for which you did not labor. God gave you this land, gave you this area. You have cities which you did not build. You have vineyards, you have olive yards that you didn't plant." And they were forgetting what God had done for them. The immense things that He had done for them, the many, many things. And then later, in Joshua 24, verses 13 through 15, these words of Joshua rang down through the centuries, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Oh, when they came into the country of the promised land, the land of Canaan, there were other people there. There were people worshiping their own idea of a God. And a lot of times the children of God looked at what others were doing and they wanted to be like them. They wanted to be like them. That doesn't ring a bell, does it? That doesn't happen anymore. Yes, it does. It happened with them. It happens with all of us. We have a choice to make. And so Joshua said that you need to choose this day whom you will serve. Then after giving, you want to choose Baal, you choose Baal. You know, well, go ahead and make up your mind. He said, you can't. Did you ever try to straddle a fence? It's hard to straddle a fence, especially if it's barbed wire. It's hard to straddle something. It's hard to be pulled one way and pulled the other way. There needs to be a choice, Joshua said. He said, "As for me, I'll set the example for you. As for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah." He was the leader of his people. He was the leader for that time. Also, when Jesus speaks here in Matthew 6:24, we note that they're only the two masters. We might think, well, you know, there are a lot of things out there that are pulling on you. But really, it's either God or all those other things. All those other things are substitutes for God. All those other things are things that take up time when we ought to be spending time for God, worshiping God, studying God's Word, becoming more Christ-like. You know, there's still going to be a judgment day like there used to be many years ago when the preachers preached about it. There's still going to be a heaven. There's still going to be a hell. And we're going to have to still be prepared. We can't wait until the end of our life, until someone's preaching our funeral, for all the things to be said that will move us right into heaven. It won't happen. It won't happen. Jesus said He's gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we may be also. He said this to His apostles, John 14, and to us. But there are two kind of hearers also that Jesus talks about. Look in Matthew 7. As Jesus gets toward the end of his sermon. Now early on He was talking about the kingdom. John the Baptist had talked about the kingdom coming. Jesus had talked about the coming of the kingdom. And the 70 that He sent out, the 12, they were talking about the coming of the kingdom. And in these early verses of the Sermon on the Mount, He talks about those who will be in the kingdom, their characteristics, their attitudes, the blessings that they would get. And now later, as He's talking to the sermon, now he's able to draw a crowd. He drew crowds throughout His ministry. Some were more favorable to him than they were earlier than they were later. And they had a different way of either accepting him or rejecting him. They had a different way of listening to him. Some paid attention, heard what he said. Others paid attention and heard what he said. Many, like we say sometimes, it went in one ear and right out the other. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, let me give you an illustration or two. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Two kinds of hearers. One hears the word of God but fails to obey. Another hears the word of God and does what God requires. Now, it appears based upon what Jesus is saying, is that it appears that there's some faith involved in the one who is talked of as the hearer, and one of the two hearers, rather. Because even the ones that are not paying that much attention are still saying, Lord, Lord. And they've still done wonderful works. So he's not talking about heathen folks out here versus those who really follow him. He's talking about, well, you know, some of you folks are trying to follow me, but you've not got it right yet. And some of you are following me and you've got it right, because you really are following me. You are paying attention to exactly what I say. You're not only hearing what I say, but you're doing what I say. You're not picking out what you want to do and what you want to obey. He said, you are obeying. And Jesus said, I can make the distinction. You know, see, I can't. And you can't. Oh, you probably read your heart better than I can. But Jesus can make the distinction. So those who say or acknowledge Jesus as Lord, then they're, and he said, really, you've done many things in the name of the Lord. But you know, the failure, he says, that did not do God's will, really. What do you say, well, they did wonderful works. That's the will of God. No, it was their will. It was their will. Remember what Jesus said when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was really having a problem with what he was to face during the coming night and the next day. He's saying, you know, God, if there be a way, let's do it some other way other than the way that we've been talking about. You know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, then, nevertheless, not thy will, but my will be done. Now that's really letting God's will be done. Because you see, Jesus was going to lose his life by doing God's will. Book of Revelation speaks of those who will be faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. And really, as I've read and studied more, it seems like it's an unto death faithfulness. In face of death, many of those in the first century faced death. They faced persecution. They not only supposed that it might happen, they knew it would happen. and still they obeyed. They still did the will of God. Proverbs 16:25, God's word said, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there are choices to be made. There are choices to be made as to whom we'll hear. We learn from the illustrations that Jesus uses about the house that really a house is no stronger than its foundation. A life is no stronger than the foundation upon which it's built. And choices are made, aren't they? When a individual goes in to build his own house and make those decisions, you want to be sure that whoever's going to build that house is putting a solid foundation there. Putting a solid foundation there. Some of them are put on concrete slabs these days. Syntex does that a lot. Others put those concrete blocks. But you don't want some concrete blocks like I saw one time as they were building my foundation. The blocks had this little zigzag look in them. Where one of their machines, whatever the apparatus they was using, backhoe or whatever was parked in there, they'd run up against the foundation and crack it. Right. I didn't know much about building a house, but I knew that wasn't the way it was supposed to be because that was not a good foundation. That was not solid enough. Jesus said in James 1:21, or James does, Jesus' brother, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It's important. Why do our elders, why do other Bible teachers stress the importance of reading the Bible? Reading the Bible. Salvation. It's a matter of life and death as far as our soul is concerned. You know, if we found somebody that we could save and they were out there drowning in a swimming pool and we could reach out and save them, we would. Who wouldn't? But there are souls reaching out and thus far they're losing. And there's someone that needs to reach for them, to give them a helping hand. James 1:22, fallen verse. James encourages with these words. He said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. The next phrase is very revealing. Deceiving your own self. Nothing is worse than being self-deceived. Do you ever think that I might be fooling myself? Something I've rationalized about and I've made a choice about that I may be fooling myself. Self-deception. The person who hears Jesus' sayings and does not do them is compared to this foolish man. His house is built upon sand. The winds come, the rains come, and it's gone. The psalmist said this, Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Finally, the two gates that Jesus mentions in Matthew. Just a little bit earlier in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight or narrow is the way, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. I was reading, I like to read the funny papers. That's one place, cartoons in the paper. That's one of the first places I go to. That and the sports paper. I spend some time on the rest of it too, don't I? I like to read the news. And there's a cartoon entitled Close to Home, flashbacks. I like those cartoons in a 10 cent is right along the top. Oh, little bitty, precise, concise cartoons. Recently, Saturday I guess it was, there's a cartoon there. There's a gas, two gas pumps sitting there. Gas station attendant out nearby a 18-wheel truck. And the driver is talking to this station attendant, and he said, No, you're looking at it all backwards. You want this here Blue Road, 62. The other driver over there says something that's hard to understand unless I explain something else, but let's see what he says. He said, if anybody back at the office gets wind of this, we're going to be the laughing stock of the company. On the side of the truck, it said, Rand McNally, World Maps. They were taking maps. They had maps available for them. But they're traveling down a life, a road lost. And they have within their reach, I guess you would say, a map that would get them on the right road. A lot of folks have Bibles, don't they? A lot of us have Bibles. I probably got 7, 8, or 9, or 10 Bibles. But you know, God, when we go to the judgment, giving account of ourselves, we're not going to be giving account of ourselves based on the weight of the Bibles we got, or the number of Bibles that I've got. God will want to know what I've done about Jesus' teachings in that Bible. What I've done about the other teachings to the early church in that Bible. Well, I hadn't read as much as I ought to. Well, who made that choice? Who makes that choice? You know, back in the time of Jesus, the gates of the cities were made strong to keep out intruders. In fact, it had walls around the cities, and on those walls were watchtowers to keep an eye on intruders. You don't have to worry about an airplane dropping a bomb on you, or a helicopter coming in and getting you, or a mortar coming in from a great distance to fall inside your city. But they were there for protection. And many times those gates were often visited by dignitaries to meet the people coming in and out of the city. In fact, if you read over in the Old Testament, one of the sons of David, Absalom, found some good use, or he thought, of the area around the gate so he could entice those people that were following the king away from the king. But Jesus used the people's knowledge about gates to teach a lesson. Our destiny is determined by the gate or by the road that we choose. The road that we enter, the life that we lead. And the two gates that Jesus speaks of lead to two entirely different destinations. You can't have one foot on one road, one foot on the other road, and be able to get there. This 18-wheel truck could not have gone down two different roads and wound up the same place. But the greater number of people today take an easy road, don't they? Well, we shouldn't use the word they. We're probably all guilty of wanting to do the easy thing. What's the least amount that I can do and still be satisfying to God? Still be pleasing to God? Paul talked to the church at churches in Galatia. And they were doing a lot of right things. But he says, you know, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel. They had some teachers coming in that were teaching them, and they weren't paying that much attention to what Paul had previously taught them. These days, there are people going forth and teaching, and they don't necessarily have to have another name on the front of the building. Some of the religious groups are very deceptive with their names. No wonder that deception is there in way of doctrine. But this narrow way, Jesus said, leads to life eternal.
Jesus said there in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's not something that I made up as a preacher. That's not something that, quote, the Church of Christ made up. That's something that the Bible says. And yet there's so many people that are not paying attention to that. In which way are we walking? In which way am I walking? Am I deceiving myself by the life that I'm living? Am I deceiving myself by the service I'm giving to God? Am I deceiving myself by my allegiance? To something other than God? Am I fooling myself? God says in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve God and mammon. Who am I serving? Jesus says that to those who are here, and yet they will say, Lord, Lord, but he says they're ignoring, that they're ignoring really what the will of God is. And these two gates, one way is the narrow way. It's tougher. It'd be easy to head down that broad way. And more people are there. If we want to be like everybody else, that's where they are. That's where folks are. We need to study our God's Word. There's no gloating on the fact that that's a broad way. We need to look at the choices that we make as Christians, as God's people, and be sure that we're doing the will of God. Make sure, first of all, that I know the will of God. That I know the will of God. There's one here this morning, not a Christian. You've studied with someone and you've come to the conclusion that you need Christ in your life, that you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You're willing to repent of your sins, be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins based upon that faith, then rise in baptism to walk a new creature in Christ. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you desire prayers on your behalf. The desire on your behalf to rededicate your life to Christ. You have that opportunity. We stand as we stand.